Good morning. Good to be with you again. And today, our message, God lined us up perfectly because the theme for the message today is the longing to belong. And so it lines up perfectly with membership and baptism and that longing to belong to God and his church family. And so we'll see that this relational lesson from the life of Joseph is really something that we all have hidden inside of us, and that God probably brings it out in us to help us get connected with him and with our church family. And today we're not wrapping up the series. Next to the last lesson in the series, Longing for Belonging. And then next week, Healing Your Family Tree. Healing Your Family Tree. And we're talking about the power of forgiveness. That the only way that you and I can join with God in healing our family tree and the hurts from a family tree is to enter into the power of forgiveness with God's help. But today I want to talk to you about this kind of universal longing, this longing to belong, whatever culture, whatever country of the world, whatever background you're from. There's some longing in us to belong to a family, to belong to a people group, to be connected to a group, and to know that we're not only people that belong there, but we're chosen somewhat to be there, that we have something to give there, that we have gifts and we have a contribution there, and that we're a unique part of that family. And everybody wants to know that. Back in 1982 through 1993, a popular TV show in the U.S., capitalize on this whole idea of longing to belong. For 11 seasons, the television show Cheers sung out a theme song. I want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. People want to go. If you've ever seen any episode of Cheers, you probably have that song ringing in your mind. Everybody wants to be where everybody knows their name. They took 11 years, made billions of dollars just running up the flagpole, this human need to belong to a family, to belong to a people group. And so our relational lesson today that comes from the life of Joseph is this: our wounds, our confused identity, and our need to be embraced can serve as pathways to lead us to God and his family. So this longing to belong, our wounds, confused identity, our need to be embraced. We're going to talk about these for just a couple of minutes, and I'll try to also connect them in with what's going on with membership and baptism this morning. But that first point is this: our longing to belong reveals our wounded soul. Our wounded soul. When Joseph's brothers finally came to him, they didn't know it was Joseph. They came, it was during those seven lean years. They were running out of food. They needed food to sustain Israel. They needed food to sustain their family. And so they come to him because he had had the dream, had stored up the food. He's now the commander, the leader, the second in command of all of Egypt. And so they come and make this appeal to him. They make an appeal for him for food. He blesses them. He gives them many different things, even gives them, it's not inconsequential that he gives them a couple, gives each one of them a set of clothing. If you remember, one of the last things they did to him is they stripped him bare and they took his clothing and they threw him in a pit. And one of the first things he does to bless them is he clothes them and he cares for them. But he also has one of his servants hide a silver cup in Benjamin's satchel. And so when they're on their way, they find that they're like, oh no, we got to take this back. We didn't put this in here. They'll think we stole it. So they return. They come back to see Joseph again. And that's where we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 45, where he can no longer contain himself. And when he's been holding it together the first time that he sees them, and then they come back, it's like he can't hold it together anymore. And you would think, why is his first response to weep? To cry out. After all these years, and after all these things that his brothers did to him, why wouldn't his first response be to be angry at them? Or to be upset with them, or vengeful with them? But it's not. It's this longing to belong that brings up this wound deep within him. And family wounds cut deeper and last longer, don't they? They just seem to cut deeper and they last longer when they happen to us in a family. And he's got this wound within his soul. He wants to see Benjamin. He wants to know that his father is still alive. I mean, we don't know if Joseph knows what his brothers did at this point. We know from the text of Scripture it doesn't explain that he knows. He just knows that he's been exiled from the family, sold into slavery. No one ever shows up looking for him for years on end, right? Doesn't know if his father's still alive. Doesn't know if his father knows the true story or not of what happened to him. Nothing of that. And he has this longing to belong, to connect to his father and to his full brother. Benjamin was his full brother. His other brothers were his half-brothers, if you remember that. But Benjamin was his full brother. And so he has this longing to belong, to connect. All the prominence of Egypt and his success could not heal his wounded soul. And it's the same in our lives. All of our success in life, all the things that we get done in life, all the things that we do in life, if we have a family wound, it will not heal that family wound. It will cover it for a time. It may medicate it for a time, but that wound will come crashing back up, just like it did for Joseph. And our longing to belong shows that we need healing at the hands of Jesus for the wounds that may have come to us through our family of origin. And so as you're hearing people's stories today, and as you're hearing testimonies today, there's no doubt that many of these people that are standing up here today, coming into membership, giving their testimony, being baptized, that they're saying, I had a wound and I brought it to the healer at the foot of the cross and he healed me. And so one of the things we can learn from this relational lesson in the life of Joseph is we don't have to hold on to those wounds. We don't have to patch them over, you know. We don't have to try to just take care of them on our own. Many times we're trying to get through our spiritual life with spiritual duct tape, amen? We're duct taping back on our arms and our legs and our hearts and our minds and our lives, and we're trying to heal ourselves on our own, and we just need to bring it before Jesus. So if you have some place in you today that needs to be healed, bring it before Jesus. During this time of baptism, during this time of worship, during this time of people making a commitment to membership, during this time of being together, just bring it to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, bring your healing hands upon the wounds that are in my life, because by your beating on the cross, I am healed. By your stripes, I am healed. I'm healed by you. Joseph was a prince in Egypt on the outside, but on the inside, he was still kind of a lost teenager in some ways. Looking and longing for his family. On the outside, he was in command and control, but on the inside, he was falling apart. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever been homesick? Joseph was homesick. What did you do to hold it together on the outside when you were lonely on the inside? Second point this morning, and we'll move forward here. So we have time for these testimonies and baptisms and other forms of worship this morning. It's going to be terrific. Our longing for belonging reveals our identity struggle. Our identity struggle. Finally, Joseph tells them who he is. He's standing there before them. The last time they've seen him, he was in a pit, stripped bare, and sold off into slavery. And now he's standing before them. He is the second command of the country, so he would have had the signet ring of the king on. He would have had a royal robe on. He would have looked like dressed to the nines. He was in a coat of many colors, but it was the colors of Egypt, and it was the colors that denoted that he was in command. And so as they stand before him, they're speechless when he says, I'm Joseph. They don't recognize him. Is my father still alive? That's his first question. Is my father still alive? They're speechless before him. They're stunned when they realize it's Joseph standing before him. He is full of statements and questions, and his brothers are speechless. I don't know. I imagine their mind is reeling. Uh-oh. Finally, the family secret that we learned about beginning of the series is going to come out. How are we going to deal with that? If we get him and dad back together, we're going to have to fess up to what we truly did, that he wasn't killed by a wild animal, and that we put that all together. Oh no, he knows what we did to him. They must be reeling. They are just like, we are toast. We're done. and he's full of questions and full of talking to them. And he had had this dream that was given to him from the very moment that he was a child. It's as if God were saying to him, in this time, your dream is going to be fulfilled. The dream that I planted in you. They gave him the nickname Dreamer. How many of us grew up with nicknames from our family of origin that we would have liked to have shed long time ago? I was Little Ham for a number of reasons. One of them was I was shaped like a little ham. I was rather rotund as a little buck, like a little boy, and I was a little ham. And I liked to ham it up. I liked to, you know, they did take much to stir me up and get me up, you know, showing off in front of the family or whatever. So I was a little ham in more ways than one. But I tell you that today. And then because I was a little ham, I had to wear these jeans that were called Huskies. Anybody remember Husky jeans? For Husky boys. And if it wasn't bad enough that they were Husky jeans, it said Husky right on them. I used to beg my mother, would you take that de-stitching thing, and take the Husky thing off there and just sew a Levi's thing on there or something on there. Anything that makes me more, you know. So Joseph, he's got this nickname, the Dreamer. They call him the Dreamer, remember? But Joseph knows there's something more to this dream. And as he's growing up through adversity, the dream grows up in him. And it's as though God were saying to him, and as though he was saying to his brothers, I'm not just a dreamer, I'm a deliverer. I'm not just a dreamer, I'm acting on behalf of God. And God is a deliverer. And all of his servants act on his behalf. And God takes this dream and he grows it up and he changes the label or name. For Joseph, maybe today is a day for those of you who are coming into membership, for those of you who are being baptized, for God to speak over you a new name, a new blessing, to take an old nickname that you were given years ago and to pull it off and to put a new name on you. Blessed, called, chosen, loved, purposeful, giver, servant, godlike. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. People in the congregation, maybe it's a day for God to give you a new name and to shore up and to give you your identity in him. Who am I? What do I have to contribute? What circumstances have I been chosen for? Identity is of utmost importance to us because we want to know who we are. We want to know our God, we want to know our place in our family, and we want to know our contribution to God's kingdom. That's all in our identity. In a few moments, as you listen to the stories, take them in, let them encourage you. Recall your story, let it shore up your identity. Take this booklet home, read over it, read the stories of the people in there, cherish them, and let it be an encouragement to you this week. In his book, Identity Matters, Terry Wardle says this, the foundation of identity for a Christian must be this and only this, I am a child of God. Let's say that out loud together. I am a child of God. That is the identifying mark of a secure life. That's the single characteristic that will bring you ultimate satisfaction and significance. Let's say it again, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Ask you this question, leave it with you to ponder this week. In what ways have you worked to measure up to the expectations of others instead of embracing your identity as God's child? When do you get your identity kind of mixed up with other people's affirmation of you? And when have you done that and maybe stepped away from embracing your identity as God's child? Last point I want to talk to you about this morning before we enter into this time of membership and baptism and just celebration is our longing for belonging reveals our need to be embraced. Our need to be embraced. Genesis 45:4. I wonder what the brothers were thinking when Joseph said this, come closer to me. They're speechless. They're locked up. I imagine they're thinking, oh no, what's next? And now he wants us to come closer? No, I'm close enough. But he's longing and he's calling for them to come closer. I'm sure that they were skeptical. After all this time, Joseph longed for his family to come close to him, to accept him, to respect him, to care about him and for him, to treat him with regard and respect, to embrace him and his life-giving dream rather than reject it and betray him because of it. It's interesting, and I told you before in Genesis chapter 44, it tells us a story about how Joseph had pulled a scheme and hidden the goblet in Benjamin's sack of things and gifts he'd given to him so that they would, what, have to return. His brothers schemed so that they could push him away and get him out of the family, get him out of the way, get rid of the dreamer. They schemed and they pulled it off for an amount of time, but then the family member came back. He's alive. And he pulls a scheme so that they have to come back close to him and embrace him and be with him. He's broken in front of them. Broken in front of them. You know that even Jesus in his baptism was embraced by the Father. If you remember in Jesus' baptism, when he comes up out of the water, a dove comes down, descends on him, and what? Touches on him. There's something to do with like that kind of significant touch from the Father. And then the Father says over him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He speaks a word over him. If Jesus needed to be touched and encouraged in his baptism, so do we. Amen? If Jesus needed to be touched and encouraged in his journey, so do we. Congregation, this morning, as you hear these words, as you see these baptisms, as some of you go out to the pond later on, and Josh and I freeze to death in the pond, giving our lives for baptism. No, as you come out and you see people get baptized, perhaps it's that day where you receive another embrace from the Father. Or you open your hands again and you say, "Father, I receive your embrace today. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Speak to me. Speak over me. Bless me." As Fred reminded us a few weeks ago, Joseph had traveled down the road of adversity that served not only to squash his dream for a time, but rather to make it more clear. It didn't squash it. It made his dream more clear for him, more mature, more meaningful. His dream grew up so that when his brothers showed up, he could bless them, he could clothe them, he could embrace them, he could forgive them, he could return good for evil, he could be as Christ to them. And indeed, Joseph is a Christ figure, and Jesus is the greater Joseph, who went all the way to the cross for us, won forgiveness for us, and gives us redemption even today. A number of years ago, after my dad passed away, I found a book in his collection of books called The Valley of Vision. It's a collection of Puritan prayers and poems, and I want to read it, one of them for you, the signature poem that comes out of The Valley of Vision. It was, I believe, Joseph's internal GPS system. And The Valley of Vision is all about this whole idea of sometimes when we're going to a valley or a difficult time like Joseph was, we don't think we can see clearly, but actually maybe we see even more clearly as we're coming out of that valley and the light is dawning. Listen to the words of The Valley of Vision. "Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, you've brought me to the Valley of Vision, where I live in the depths, but I see you in the heights. Hemmed in by mountains of sin, I behold your glory. Let me learn from paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is the rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, and that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, and that the valley is indeed the place of vision. Lord, in the daytime, stars can be seen from the deepest well, and the deeper the well, the brighter your stars shine. Let me find your light in my darkness, your life in my death, your joy in my sorrow, your grace in my sin, your riches in my poverty, your glory in my valley. Amen. Amen. Relational lesson number 5. Our wounds, our confused identity, and our need to be embraced can serve as pathways to lead us to God and his family. Let's read this out loud together. Our wounds, our identity struggle, and our need to be embraced can serve as pathways to lead us to God and his family. Listen for some of those as we move through this time of membership reception and baptism this morning, that through the cross of Christ and in the family of God, our wounds are healed, our identity is secure, and we are fully embraced as God's dearly and fully loved children.